Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Friday, just 2 days away from the Eagles taking the train down to Maryland, getting ready to play the Washington Redskins on Monday Night Football. We all got a taste of it last night. The Denver Broncos, big over the Baltimore Ravens. Peyton Manning putting on a show, a great way to kick off the NFL season. We have a wonderful show for you today. Chip Kelly meets the media for the final time this week and discusses some of the last-minute preparations that he's making, and I'm sure some other topics as well. We've got Adam Kaplan coming by to answer your questions, talk about this first game of this regular season, Eagles-Redskins. It's interesting. Sunday Night Football is Dallas and the Giants. Monday Night Football, the Eagles and the Redskins. The NFC East in prime time on week one of the season. Also, Brian Baldinger stops by, and Nate Allen, who will play a critical role in Monday night's game as he and Earl Wolfe jockey to find out who wins this starting job at the safety position. But certainly a busy time here with the Eagles on the field, off the field, a lot of chatter. Let's get you caught up on the headlines with Bo Wolfe.
All right, thanks, Dave. Let's get to your Eagles live headlines. And we want to talk about the guys who did not play last season for this Eagles team. And that begins with the all-pro left tackle, Jason Peters. After missing all of last season, he is ready to pave way for LeSean McCoy, what could be a very big year for this team on the ground. You can read a little bit more about that for this week's edition of the Wolf's Den. That's on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Check that out. But also the rookies are ready to make an early impact. On the other side from Peters is right tackle Lane Johnson, the fourth overall pick. He starts from day one. And behind him, Zach Ertz is ready to make an impact with the first team offense. And Benny Logan and Earl Wolf can also play a lot for this first team defense. As for the injuries, who we're going to not see on Monday night, only two guys on that injury report, Brandon Hughes and Dennis Kelly, unlikely to play this week. Everybody else, a full slate of health. Later on in the show, you can watch Chip Kelly's press conference live right here at 11:45. And then, of course, everything gets going Monday night, 7 o'clock against the Washington Redskins. Our coverage begins at 6:30 with the kickoff show right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thank you very much, Bo Wolf. Now coming up on Eagles Live, we've got Brian Baldinger in studio from the NFL Network. And he's really spent a lot of time with Chip Kelly this summer, spent a lot of time around the Eagles as he's been the color analyst for the Eagles Television Network broadcasts of the preseason games. We've gone through all the dress rehearsals. The first act comes on Monday Night Football. Get ready for some football. Eagles and the Redskins are coming right back on Eagles Live.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues. The new U.S. News and World Report rankings are in. And of the top 10 hospitals ranked best in orthopedics in the nation, only one is in Philadelphia. This one, Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
If you play with great effort and there's a want-to, and then that you got a great shot of getting the football on every play. He does a great job here. He's trying to throw the ball. Lane gets beat a little bit inside.
He does get inside, but at least his athletic ability allows him to stay with Alexander and still run him into the ground right here.
Exactly. And that's what you saw with Lane when we drafted him. Is most guys are beat after that move.
Right.
You know, when he turns speed to power and starts to move him, you get up on one leg like that, you're done.
Like most of you, I grew up a passionate Eagles fan. Sundays during football season meant food, family, and fun, screaming at the TV for just about every play, But unfortunately, there are too many families throughout our region that struggle every day just to get by. And I'm proud to know that Eagles Youth Partnership is helping to serve more than 50,000 kids each year. Now, when you support EYP, you support not only your team, but also your community.
The Eagles and the Redskins kick off the 2013 season on Monday Night Football. Dave Spadaro here, joined by NFL Network's Brian Baldinger. And we've talked to you throughout the preseason. Yeah. We've watched the Eagles every step of the way here. How good is this football team? How ready is this football team for week one?
I think they're ready. I don't know how good they are, Dave. I mean, I don't think they know how good they are. Because we really didn't see a lot of what this thing can look like. We saw a lot of the foundation. I think the offensive line is going to be really good. The running back is going to be good. I think the quarterback, when all those elements are working well, is going to be fine. And then the defense is just this defense in transition. So a lot of new parts, new scheme, new coaches. And so I don't care where you go. The New York Giants won a Super Bowl a couple years ago with Steve Spagnuolo, and it took them a half a year to kind of figure out what they were doing.
Let me have you play head coach. You are Chip Kelly. You are designing an offense for Monday night. Mm-hmm. What are we going to see?
Well, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of his base plays. I think you're going to see a lot of inside zone, double teams at the point. I think you'll see a lot of plays going to the left behind Jason Peters. I think you'll see a lot of plays off of the inside zone, whether it's a bubble screen or whether it's taking a couple deep shots. If you watch the Redskins in preseason, you'd be crazy not to take four or five deep shots in a game. Most of them, I think, will be off of some sort of play action. But you'd be foolish to think, like, that is a great secondary right now.
What about Mike Shanahan? What will he try to do? I mean, if you want to pressure Michael Vick, you want to make him make mistakes. We saw that in Jacksonville.
Yeah, you know, look, if you look at Jim Haslett, the defensive coordinator, I mean, they won seven in a row last year, Dave. They were not a good team when they were 3-6 and losing to Carolina at home. And they went off on this run where they won seven in a row. And if you watch them defensively, what they found out was, minus Brian Arakpo last year, that they had to blitz to get pressure, and they really found some blitz packages that really worked against the Ravens, against the Cowboys, all the way down the stretch. And so I would expect similar type blitz packages against this offense to see how Mike Vick and the offensive line handles it.
Brian, if you're Bill Davis and you've seen this defense up and down in the preseason, missing some tackles, open field not maybe being as physical as you want, then all of a sudden here come the Redskins. And all week everybody's talking about RG3, but really, the core of that offense is running the football, being physical.
It is. And, you know, the rookie running back last year ran for more yards in a season for Redskins than any other player in their history. So, I mean, this guy is a big-time back now. And this zone blocking scheme, Mike Shanahan's had success with this for 20 years now. I mean, this is a difficult scheme. And when you are talking about offensive linemen, I mean, Trent Williams, without Jason Peters playing last year, he was the best left tackle in football. I mean, he can move bodies, and they're good. So they're going to stretch you, and then they're going to cut you. And so then if you add RG3 as an option, it's a very difficult scheme to stop.
So what are you doing if you're Bill Davis? Now, we didn't see his scheme in the preseason either.
No, but I think that, you know, really stopping the run, in my mind, Dave, is just attitude and effort. And so it's no matter what you're running, a 3-4-4-3, it's still a gap scheme. You got to still get to the gaps. You got to plug the A gap, the B gap, all the way down. And so that's what it comes down to. So it's just playing big, staying on your feet, and refusing to stay blocked. If you do those things and you hustle to the football, you'll minimize long runs, and you'll at least, even when you get creased, you'll minimize the long run.
I think the Eagles can win this game and win games this year by playing well offensively, and then special teams, nobody talks about it. Outstanding performance in the preseason from Dave Phipps' group here. Win this battle, turn the field around, maybe you got a shot.
Well, what I saw from Dave Phipps was, first of all, the kickers were outstanding. I mean, Donnie Jones did what we expected him to do. I mean, he constantly put the ball inside the 20 on punts. He has the ability to put the backspin on it in limited returns. And then Alex Henry on his kickoffs, I mean, it was one touchback after another. If you can flip the field and make the Redskins go the longest field possible, you're certainly going to limit the amount of points you give up.
Eagles win this game Monday night, Brian? What do you think happens here? Or how do they win this game?
Well, I think, you know, the only way I think they can win it is, A, if they take care of the football, they don't turn it over. All right, I mean, that sounds obvious. You play great special teams, and then this offense executes so that they can continue and maintain that pace where they run 80 to 85 plays, And if you execute and stay on the field, convert your third down, stay out of penalty situations, you could keep RG3 off the field.
Yeah, and when he's on the field, I mean, can he possibly be 100%?
Yeah, well, yeah, he can. He can. He's done this before. He did this at Baylor.
For, you know, I mean, then he's a super, super, superstar.
Well, he was the rookie of the year for that reason, because he is a superstar. He is an incredible athlete. And I expect him, and I think the Eagles should expect him to be what RG3 was most of last year.
Brian Baldinger in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We thank you very much
for
joining us right here.
Caramel mocha.
Caramel almond.
Caramel turtle.
That would have been awkward.
With Dunkin's caramel iced coffee flavors, there are more ways than ever to love caramel. Try the new caramel coconut today. America runs on Dunkin'.
When you experience something great, you want to share it with everyone. That's why more customers recommend Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Countless reasons, one choice. That's powerful. Verizon.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Gold Rush, with 15 top prizes of $300,000. It's kind of fun to make a splash. Keep on scratching.
Grandma, your biscuits are the best.
Oh, these are from Dunkin'.
Granny!
I have a life, you know. That's for me.
Dunkin's new chicken biscuit sandwich is a tender chicken filet on a Southern-style biscuit. Grab one for $2.99 today. America runs on Dunkin'.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here at the NovaCare Complex. We invite your phone calls. We want to get some predictions from you. What are the Eagles going to do on Monday night against the Redskins? Give us a buzz. 215-339-6709. Adam Kaplan from ESPN will be joining us on set here to answer some questions, as well as talk Eagles-Redskins NFC East. It all starts on Sunday night with the Cowboys going against the Giants. All right, let's take a look at one of the key matchups here in this game. Thanks to Brian Baldinger here, our great analyst. This is part of the game plan show that airs on Saturday at 12:05 a.m. locally on 6ABC. You can watch all of the game plan show and all the Eagles television network shows on Monday here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. One of the keys for the Eagles defense, unleashing Trent Cole as a pass rusher and at times dropping back in coverage. He goes against an emerging talent at the left tackle position for the Redskins, one of the best in the business, Trent Williams.
One of the featured matchups on Monday night's game with the Redskins is Trent Williams, probably against Trent Cole for much of the night. And really, the Redskins are a lot more than just RG3. This is an elite player right here at left tackle for the Redskins. So let's just take a look at what he can do. Here it is in a preseason against the rookie Jarvis Jones. All right, his ability to just stay on his feet, he's very athletic. There was a reason he was the fourth pick in the draft just 4 years ago. He has an ability to stay on his feet and ride you around the horn and give that quarterback time. But in the run game is where he's really lethal. You take a look at him right now. This is just their zone stretch run right now. He gets up on the linebacker, Larry Foote, right now to watch him. He's going to take him for a ride and then finish him. And that his ability to stay on his feet and just keep running players is really second to nobody. Maybe Jason Peters in his business right now. Here it is again. Here's the zone stretch. They're stretching this with the tight end right now. They're all coming. All right, and now whoever is at running back right now for Washington is going to run to daylight. There's going to be a crease here, and there it is. There's the crease. There's Trent Williams really finishing his block on the outside right now, staying with him, staying on his feet. Big man that can move, and there's the crease. That's what they're looking for. And that's going to be the challenge of the Eagles come Monday night is, can they slow this zone stretch scheme down behind a powerful left tackle in Trent Williams?
Joined now by Adam Kaplan, a longtime contributor here to PhiladelphiaEagles.com, also contributing to ESPN. Yes, the ESPN. Adam, welcome to the set here. How are you, buddy?
Good to be here, man. Look at this place. Yeah. You're a little far away here on the new dais. I like
only,
it.
Only in distance, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Eagles, Redskins. We've seen the Eagles in four preseason games here, Adam. I don't think anybody really knows what to expect. What are your thoughts?
Expect the unexpected, things that we didn't see in the preseason or training camp we were allowed to go. So I think it's going to be a little different than we expect, but it's going to be fun, and it's going to be fast. We know that. We know what Chip Kelly wants to do. But formationally, we're going to see some things we haven't seen before. So I look forward to seeing that, and that's the way it should be, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we have a pretty good handle of the offense. The defense is a big question. Let's get to some phone calls here, 215-339-6709. Scott in Arizona joins us. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Dave, long time no talk.
Indeed. How are you, pal?
I'm good. Just kind of a crazy place to be after so many years with the same coach, kind of the same level of expectation going into a season with, really the great unknown. I mean, obviously an extremely successful college coach from a great offensive program to come into the pros. Just not knowing how Chip will adapt to what he'll see over this first season and not really understanding completely what we're going to see based on the fact that, you know, how does that translate from, you know, what he's done in the college game to how he takes it to the pros. So,
I got it. I know how everybody feels. What's got a question here? I mean, I agree.
Yeah, I guess the question or I want to talk to you about specifically about the season is that the way the schedule kind of looks, it seems that first 6-7 games is really crucial. If the Eagles can, you know, somehow maintain some level of around 500, it looks like that they could have a respectable season. Do you guys see them as a team that if they can get to that bye week at 500 or better, that has a legitimate chance to at least contend for potential playoff spots.
Scott, before we get there, give me a prediction for you for Monday night.
The Monday night game. I mean, it's going to be a tough game for us to win going into Washington. I would if we're able to pull something out, I think it's going to be relatively high scoring, maybe like 31-28.
All right, good. Thanks for the call, Adam. I don't know. I guess I would tell you that I haven't really thought about the playoffs. I really haven't. I've thought just game by game. I think I'm taking such a short-term approach here.
You should. Soak it all in. Soak the newness of the offense and defense and the coaching staff. Everything that's new here, I think you just soak it in and you kind of see how things go. But I think Scott's right. You look at the schedule and I think there's some winnable games. I mean, you see this week. You see the San Diego game, the home opener. San Diego's got all sorts of problems. You know their left tackle is, Dave?
Yeah, King Dunlap.
2-1. King, who I talked about on the Insider Show.
Yeah.
He beat out Max. King Dunlap?
Yeah.
So, listen,
when I look at the schedule, look, I mean, I think you're getting the Redskins, if there's such a thing as getting them at a good time that RG3 hasn't played.
Sure.
You're getting a Chargers team that's got to come all the way across country and that has had a lot of questions, a lot of offensive
line
questions.
It's a 1 o'clock game, right?
Yeah.
That's a weird
And then
time
you've got
them.
The Chiefs having on a short week to come across country. So that's another short week. And then you get a little mini break, and then you go on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And Denver doesn't have Von Miller, of course. Didn't seem to matter a whole lot last night. But the point is, you know, come out of this thing. I guess I'm just looking at it very much game by game.
We'll see how they do. But the thing is, you're going to be excited to see what happens because no one knows. The anticipation of the unknown is a good thing in the National Football League. I really look forward to seeing this because I've gone through tape from Oregon. I've gone through statistics. I still don't know what they're going to do. Because every time you think you know, something else happens. So I really look forward to kind of seeing what they do. And both sides of the football and personnel-wise, seeing on defense how Billy Davis shakes it up a little bit. What's he going to do?
And I do think he will shake it up. Yeah. Good stuff there. Shannon in Florida joins us. Hey, Shannon.
Dick Dave, what's going on, good brother? How you doing, Adam?
Good. How are you?
Good, guys. Listen, man, it's football season. Two things, man. I really believe whoever wins this game they're going to be able to run on offense, and they're going to be able to stop the run on defense. I think it's going to be a battle of the running game. Even though we have the high-powered offense with the passes and the bubble screens, I think whatever team is able to run the ball and defend the run is going to be the most successful. What do you guys think?
Good point. Hey, Shannon, give me a prediction on the game.
Give you a prediction, Eagles 28-17. One more thing, Dave. Can I say one more thing, man?
Please do.
Kerry Williams. I'm seeing some red flags with this dude, man. I like the team concept, man. That whole thing with Riley yesterday and with Mike Vick, man, he has to tone it down.
Shannon, let me tell you something. You know that 2 weeks ago in practice, LeSean McCoy and Brandon Boykin got into a fight? Did you know that?
Yeah, but I don't like the stuff that Kerry Williams is saying.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Kerry Williams is a very emotional guy. Now, let's hope he channels that emotion into a game situation.
That's what
you want from him. That's one of the reasons he's been successful.
Man. I know people make fun of him, the offseason, not being here to the sconces. Okay, let's put that behind us. He's a football player. He was brought here to play man press coverage. He's going to do that. So is Bradley Fletcher. So is Boykin.
Yeah.
You're going to find out Monday night how much of an impact he's going to have, because Pierre Garçon's a really good football player. Santana Moss could still play. Josh Morgan will block in the run game. And as Shannon was talking about, you know, they're going to run the football.
Let's talk about that, because I think that's a good point. And there's 2 points that Shannon made there that I'd like to address. The idea that the Eagles are a passing offense, I personally believe that the foundation of this offense is going to be in the run game.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. That's what Chip Kelly believes. Forget about the Andy Reid offense. That's gone. That's in Kansas City. This is a run-based power scheme. One cut, go.
Yeah.
And you're going to see a lot of LeSean McCoy and a lot of Bryce Brown if he doesn't put the ball on the ground. I look forward to seeing them attack that Redskin defense.
Yeah, and as far as the Eagles defense, and we are all focusing on number 10 for the Redskins, the fact is the Eagles have to be very physical stopping the run. And this has been an issue throughout, I think in the preseason, teams have averaged about 170 yards on the ground against the Eagles.
The one cut, they're not attacking the gaps at all. Their gap control is bad. And don't also forget, being physical at the line, Eagles historically have had problems against tight ends. Fred Davis is back from his torn Achilles. He looks good. You've got to jam him. And I want to see how physical the Eagles are on defense.
Adam, let's talk about the safety positions. And Nate Allen's going to come by here a little bit. We think Patrick Chung...
He's looked good.
Is a solid addition to this football team. He's a small guy, though.
But he hits. He brings a thump, though.
What do you make of the Wolf-Allen battle?
You'd rather know who the guy is. Yeah, is Nate Allen starting week one? Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's going to start week two. You'd like to feel good about your whole starters are set, and you feel good about your backups. Earl Wolf is a guy who's on the rise, but he's not ready yet. He's close. And Earl Wolf is an instinctive player who will hit. In fact, what I like about him is he could close. But the athleticism part of it, we haven't seen that yet. And we'll get that once the game starts.
Your take, Adam, on the Eagles, the strengths of this team, to me, offensive line, special teams, running backs, and when he's got it going, Michael Vick at the quarterback position.
Here you go, in order. Defensive line, we need to mention. That's what's one of my favorites of this football team. They are way better off than I thought. I was wrong about
this. Why do you say that?
I came in thinking they had no defensive line. You got a very young group in Sopoaga in the middle. You didn't really together. He's been one of the biggest surprises. I didn't think he could play. He is a mountain of a man. You want someone to be stout at the point of attack. He does that. You've got Square, who's been a big surprise. And the scouting department needs to give him credit here. This has been – and Thornton, another one.
Sopoaga didn't really stand out in the preseason.
He has not been the run stopper they thought so far, but I think he will be. You just like the group of six guys. I think they've got a really good group. Now – the other strengths, offensive line, potentially top three if they're all healthy. They look tremendous in the preseason, so you like that. The running game, again, and we've said this before in your show, I think they could have the best running game in the National Football League. LeSean McCoy is a top three running back.
How many touches a game for him?
I think 18 to 20,
yeah,
if he's healthy. And now, if they have the lead in the fourth quarter, becomes another question. Who's your closer? Is it McCoy? Yes, he's got to be. Bryce Brown.
With the fumbles, it can't be Bryce Brown.
That's why I brought
it
up.
Right.
And Chris Paul, who's tremendous in pass protection, he's a big back, did have a fumble in the preseason. It looked like a nice run, and he got popped out of his hand. So LeSean McCoy finally started having some ball security issues last season. He's got to make sure he tucks it high and tight. So if they get a lead, they're gonna pound that rock. They're not gonna be throwing the ball over the place. You're gonna see some philosophical differences from
Chip Kelly and Andy Reid on offense. There's no question about
Special teams, Adam. I don't know much about the Redskins. Maybe you can fill me in, but do the Eagles have an advantage here?
I think what I've seen, and this has been documented, I've never seen anyone spend so much time here on special teams. It's literally a quarter of practice, not just the return game, coverage. You're going to see, if they don't finish in the top 10 in coverage, I'd be shocked based on what Dave Fipp has been doing in the preseason and in practice.
Yeah, and Donnie Jones with the hang time. Alex Henry's kickoffs, 11 touchbacks in the preseason. Demaris Johnson and Brandon Boykin in the return game. We have not even seen a certain number 10 DeSean Jackson returning punts, and I'm not sure he will on Monday night.
I would tell you this. It's been – how long has it been since this team has had consistent return game?
Yeah.
A long time, and it's about time they got it. And the good thing is they've got Boykin, if they ever wanted to go to that, who can do it, and I know he can do it because I've seen him do it – actually saw him do it at Georgia. He did it here a little bit earlier in his career. You mentioned Johnson, who's been a nice surprise for them. It'll be, he's an instinctive guy. He sees it, he hits it. He doesn't always make the right decision, but he's a good football player.
Give me your thoughts. What goes down Monday night?
I think it's going to be a very interesting game. It's going to have some ebbs and flows because it's the first game. I think the Redskins are going to learn very quickly that the Eagles are probably in better shape than they are. But I think the Redskins are a little bit better football team. I think it's going to be a very interesting game. I think there's going to be some turnovers in this game. I'm going to pick the Redskins, but it's going to be a close game. I don't even have a score yet because I haven't got to that. We have till Monday night. But I'll be involved with a lot of stuff with you guys and look forward to it.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. And I agree. I think that the turnovers – ultimately, and this is no rocket science here, ultimately we'll tell the tale.
Real quick, I want to throw this in there. When is the last time this team won a game on special teams coverage and returned on special teams? That could be the difference for the Eagles Monday night. If they take care of the things that they're capable of doing, this team will be probably a little bit better than we thought. If they're not, they have no margin of error. Okay, this team does not. They cannot make mistakes on Monday night. I cannot wait to see what Chip Kelly has planned.
Adam Kaplan, we thank you so much for joining us in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues. The new U.S. News and World Report rankings are in. And of the top 10 hospitals ranked best in orthopedics in the nation, only one is in Philadelphia. This one, Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
We'd love to hear what you think about the X1 platform. Give me something to search.
Mindy Kaling.
Sure, let's do that.
Awesome. It's everything me all in one place.
Check this out. This is great. What should I watch?
The Mindy Project.
Okay, I wasn't even asking you. The X1 recommends things based on stuff I've watched. So.
The Mindy Project.
Okay, you'd search by genre if you... If
Mindy Kaling cute. Okay, I'm just gonna take this. Mindy Kaling sexy.
Recommendations, search, and voice control. All part of the X1 platform. Your entertainment operating system. Only from Xfinity.
We got plenty of mud out here.
Plenty of it.
Plenty.
Hey, here go my toy right here. This is my toy.
You get ready to have some fun, man.
Hey, Doug! Doug! Come on up here!
Hey, Mark! Get set! Go!
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
We welcome you inside our studio. Dave Spadaro joined by Eagles safety Nate Allen. Big challenge for the defense in game number one. I guess as far as balanced offenses go, none better than the Washington Redskins.
Not at all. RG3 and that offense, they're going to be a great challenge for us, and they have a lot of weapons, RG3 being, you know, the main one, and they have all their guys back on offense, so it's going to be fun. We're gonna, you know, a lot of play action, you know, and he adds another aspect to the run game, so it's going to be a good challenge.
When you watch him, Nate, I mean, this is a kid who came into the league and threw 5 interceptions last year. That's it.
Yeah.
Made very few mistakes, and certainly against the Philadelphia Eagles, mm-hmm. played great football. What makes him so good?
Like I said, he just adds another aspect to the run game. You don't know, you know, if he's going to run it or throw it. So, I mean, he does both well. You know, he reads well. Mm-hmm. He's got a strong arm. And, you know, he was a track guy at some time back early in his, you know, sporting days. So, he's just a heck of an athlete and a heck of a football player.
Do you look at him as a player coming off a major injury, or do you look at him as a player who is a 100% healthy kid coming into this game? Let's get after him.
Yeah, we definitely have to go in, you know, expecting him to be 100% because I'm sure he is. And, you know, we got to be expecting the RG3 that, you know, we saw last year.
What challenges are you presented with? I mean, you've got to be aggressive coming mm-hmm. up to support the run, but you can't be too aggressive right. or else you get caught with the play action.
Exactly, and that's something they're big on. They run because they got a great running back with Alfred Morris, and, you know, he's a downhill guy. And they like you said, they suck you up in the run game because they run, and they hit you with a play action and try to go up top. And, you know, they got great receivers that with a lot of speed on the outside, so – you know, as a secondary, we just have to stay disciplined and focus on our keys and have great eyes this game.
Nate, Bill Davis has talked about this. You mentioned the Redskins come back. They are a cohesive unit. They're familiar with what they're doing in the scheme. They're experienced. Right. This defense comes in, new coordinator, new scheme, a bunch of new players. Mm-hmm. So it's really a challenge from just the where do we stand kind yeah. of aspect of things.
Right. But, you know, that's what we had this off season for, and we mm-hmm. had you know, training camp. So we feel good where we are, and you know, we're having a good week of preparation. And you know, like I said, we just have to focus on our keys and stay disciplined as a defense as a whole, and you know, try to get some pressure on RG3 every now and then.
What do you expect just from an aggressive standpoint? I mean, I guess the number one thing would be with RG3, don't let him just sit back in the pocket right. and pick you apart.
Yeah, definitely, and. You definitely don't want to let him get outside the pocket, you know, because that's where he does most of his damage. You know, when he gets outside the pocket, you know, he's liable to run and he can throw it. So, yeah, we just got to, you know, try to contain him. And like I said, like I keep saying, the main thing is staying yeah. disciplined as a secondary, because that play action, you know, they can suck you up in there.
When the schedule came out in April, did you look at it and say, boy, I wonder if RG3 will play in this game? Did you look that far ahead?
Not really. I mean – you know, you kept hearing about it in the off season and leading up in the preseason. The, you know, his they would always update his injury report. So
like only about 20 times a day.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So you're always hearing about it. But I mean, I was expecting him to be ready for this one. So I was. Yeah.
Would you have been disappointed if he wasn't playing?
Not necessarily. You gotta be ready for whoever's in there. Right. But I mean. You know, it's gonna be exciting. It's gonna be exciting.
Nate, Monday Night Football, is it a thrill for you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. These are the kind of games you play for as a football player, you know. And especially being the first Monday night game, the whole nation is watching, and it's gonna be exciting.
What do you like before a game? I know you're a hyperkinetic, always moving, stretching out the body.
Right.
Are you a butterfly guy?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think everybody gets butterflies, but as soon as, you know, that ball snapped first play, they all go away, and you know, you're just reacting and playing ball. That's
what it's all about,
yeah,
right?
That's what you're doing.
It breaks down. Once again, it does. It's just football.
Exactly.
Everything that's happening outside, yep. You guys don't pay any attention.
Tons on Dunkin'.
When you experience something great, you want to share it with everyone. That's why more customers recommend Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Countless reasons, one choice. That's powerful. Verizon.
Grandma, your biscuits are the best.
No, these are from Dunkin'.
Granny!
I have a life, you know. That's for me.
Dunkin's new chicken biscuit sandwich is a tender chicken filet on a southern style biscuit. Grab one for $2.99 today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live, the name of the show, coming your way each day of the week, Monday through Thursday during the normal weeks at 11 o'clock here from the NovaCare Complex. Now, we have a new feature that we are going to have every week. It's called the pre-snap read, and what we do in this is have a couple of analysts break down some tendencies, some big stories from that week's opponents. So the read option feature here, yeah, that's what it is. We are talking about the read option, what Washington does. It's the big component of their game along with play action, the run game, then they hit you over the top with the pass game. So how does this Eagles defense react to that? Adam Kaplan joins Greg Cosell in breaking it down.
94 down, 51 Mike. White 20. White 27.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our new feature here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com, pre-snap read, where we analyze the trends of the National Football League through the coaching tape. And who could we have better than this man right here, my good friend Greg Cosell? Every year there's something new. We had, you know, the Wildcat,
right,
the defensive coordinators around the National Football League. Greg defeated that. I sat down at the combine, Greg, with a defensive coordinator who told me that, and he's been in the league a long time, he said, you know, we've defeated everything. He said, but this one is a little bit tougher. When you run that read option, Greg, as you know on tape, it's not the easiest to defend.
No, it's not, because the read option causes indecision in the defense. And the worst thing for the defense is to be reactive as opposed to proactive. Normally what defenses want to do, Adam, disruption, deception. They want to be the ones who do that. The read option is deception on the offense's part. Now there's two ways people talk about defending the read option. You slow play it, in which the unblocked defender does not show his hand right away, and that causes indecision in the quarterback as to whether he hands the ball right to the back or keeps the ball. So you sort of start up field, that may look like you hand it to the back,
right,
but then you sort of work inside.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other way people are talking about it is you fast play it. You have an unblocked defender, just attack the mesh point and speed it up.
And what did the tempo look like on tape?
Well, tempo, there's many different kinds of tempo, and offensive coordinators will tell you they may have three or four different tempos.
Right.
If tempo can be Peyton Manning coming to the line, looking at the defense, deciding where everybody is. He doesn't necessarily snap the ball quickly.
Right.
That is one part of tempo. But I think the tempo teams are most concerned about defensively is what I think Chip Kelly's going to do and more teams will do, where you just come up to the line and you go. I mean, you snap the ball with 20 to 25 seconds remaining on the play clock. So now what does that do for the defense? You have to get into whatever defense it is.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you can't be multiple, but you have to get into it.
Exactly.
And you can't disguise.
Tempo speeds everything up, but how does this impact the matchups for the game?
Well, here's what it does. We talked about the fact that defenses can't disguise.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every defensive coordinator in the league, basically everyone, has what we call a default defense, a defense that's their foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And very often, when you play fast, that defense goes to that. That's what the call is. If they're, let's say, a cover three defense, that's what they're in as their default defense. So now the offense, before the ball is snapped, will know what that defense is. So now with their route combinations, with their formation, they can dictate matchups against that defense. Let's say the defense plays a lot of man-to-man.
Mm-hmm.
You can line up people in a certain, you know, if it's a Zach Ertz, for instance, or a Brent Celek, and you want to split them out, you may get them matched up on a safety or a linebacker, which is favorable based on what you know the defense will go into.
Because you see pre-snap, right.
Correct.
Right.
So you can dictate what matchups you get, zone or man, based on playing faster with tempo.
What Chip Kelly's doing is nothing new. The hurry-up offense has been in the National Football League for a long time. We know that.
But I think it's hurry-up now adding other elements. Now that Michael Vick is starting, it's hurry up with the read option added in. So it's another layer. But to keep one thing in mind, When you play that fast offensively, the faster you go, the less you can do offensively. Keep that in mind. Everybody just assumes when you play fast, it's so complicated, defenses can't figure it out. It's not the complexity of it. When you play really fast, you do less. There's exactly. more communication that's necessary with the quarterback and the O-line. And I've talked to some people who say that it's going to take time for teams doing it the first time. That everybody who thinks they're going to be Tom Brady don't understand the communication that's necessary. Because keep in mind, Brady might want to play fast, but if he walks up in a heartbeat, he might see, we can't protect that look. And he, with one word, changes the protection and they can still play fast.
When the Patriots ran that against the Broncos weren't ready for it. Now, as we fast forward to this matchup, the Redskins, they're running the pistol. But what kind of challenge is it here for Billy Davis and his defense?
Well, the big thing has to do with when it's not so much playing fast, because I don't know if the Redskins will play really fast, but I think what they do with RG3 and all the backfield action elements. That's sort of the term I would use, backfield action. You have normal play action. You've got reverse action. You've got all kinds of action in the backfield. So what that does, Adam, is it slows down the read and reaction time of the second level players on defense and even the safeties, depending on the coverage call on the defense. So instead of being proactive, they're waiting to see. And while they're waiting to see,
can't do that.
Receivers are running routes while they're waiting to see. Everybody thinks that all this is just for the run game because the Redskins with Morris rushing for 1,600 yards or so, Griffin running for 815, thinks this is just a running option.
Right, right.
It's what they did in the pass game that was so difficult to defend.
This is going to be a fascinating matchup. I cannot wait to
see it. I'm fascinated by what Jim Haslett will do against Chip Kelly, because Jim Haslett likes to show different things, move people around, show blitz, back off, not show blitz, come, do a lot of different things, and we'll see if Chip Kelly speeds up the tempo. I'm not saying Haslett won't blitz, but he's going to have to show it.
No
question.
Because
you won't be able to disguise it, because you won't have time. Because the last thing you want to have happen against an up-tempo team is it only takes one player on defense to be out of position, and you've got a big play.
54 down, 51 white. White 20. White 27.
Hope you enjoyed that. The pre-snap read here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com coming your way each and every week. Now it's time for head coach Chip Kelly to meet the media for the final time this week. He meets just before the team has its practice. It's actually a Thursday, remember. It's a Friday for you and I, but for the football team as it prepares for Monday night's game. It is on the Thursday schedule. Before we get to Chip, let's remind you of our coverage on Monday. We'll be broadcasting all of our Eagles Television Network shows during the day, so make sure you tune in and catch the debut weekend of the Eagles Television Network if you haven't done so already on 6ABC. And then at 6:30, it's Chris McPherson and Adam Kaplan, the kickoff show right here from the NovaCare Complex, and we will have live coverage from FedEx Field right up until kickoff when the Eagles meet the Redskins. We'll have the halftime show, of course, from the NovaCare Complex with all of the coverage from what happened in half number one, and then the postgame show presented by Rico. We'll have Chip Kelly's press conference live, Michael Vick's press conference live, and hopefully the Eagles will be bringing a lot of players to the podium. That'll mean good things for this football team in the opener of this 2013 regular season for the Eagles. Chip Kelly, he's got so many things to talk about here. A lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation. Eagles getting ready for an experienced Washington team, the defending NFC East champions. Hard to believe that in a year's time, the Redskins went from worst to first, something the Eagles trying to do this year with Chip Kelly at the helm. Injury situation is a good one for Philadelphia. Brandon Hughes, not likely to play in this game. Dennis Kelly hasn't practiced for a couple of weeks. Hopefully he'll be getting back in the practice field very soon. But otherwise, Eagles good to go on the health front. So they feel good about that and about where they've come from the end of the preseason. A couple of good weeks of preparation getting ready for a Redskins team that's got it all, with a good running game, fantastic quarterback, solid receivers, good scheme in place, solid offensive line. The defense gets Brian Arakpo back this week, and the Redskins a formidable opponent in week number one. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's take a look out somewhere on the field. There we go. They're waiting for Chip Kelly. Where are you, Chip? Come on down. Now, this Chip Kelly, you know, he's somebody who's ready to go. And it looks like he's getting ready. The masses are starting to move. When Chip Kelly's ready, they play ball. So I'm going to say it's about to start. Chip Kelly meeting the media live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hello.
So, Chip, yesterday's altercation in practice, what's the fallout from that? Have you addressed it with any of the players or carry or Riley?
No, we went right back to team period right after that, and both those guys were lined up and played. And matter of fact, Mike threw the ball deep to Riley on the first play of team period, and Kerry was covering him. So I don't see any no fallout, whatever.
You've been kind of insistent, though, on in practice. You want them to practice the way we play. Throw and carry out that time against the Patriots.
Yeah, we had told our guys before that, and that was just an agreement I had with Coach Belichick that we weren't going to put up with it when the two of our teams were practicing because what we had to get accomplished. So we address that all the time in meetings. Our coaches do in individual position meetings. I talk about it in team meetings about making sure that you play with emotion and don't let emotion play with you. And, you know, you got two competitive guys, and they got squalled pretty quickly and squashed pretty quickly, so we were back out and we were playing.
We look at the bigger. You've seen Kerry now get to a Steve Smith in a game, get to a Kira Dobson, his own teammate. You know, last year in the Super Bowl, shot the ref, people know about. So do you feel like he's got a little bit of something to overcome here to stay on the field and not get thrown?
No, we've talked to him about it, and hopefully he understands the ramifications and what it is. It's a team game. You know, and like I said, our whole deal we talk about all the time is that you have to play with emotion, not let emotion play with you.
Did you happen to hear what Kerry had said to Riley at the time of the altercation?
No.
You hadn't heard?
No, I didn't. I mean, we got music blaring and all those other things, so I didn't hear anything.
You didn't feel it was necessary even after it was reported that he had said the same racial slur that Riley had used back in June at the concert? Did you feel it was necessary to talk to Kerry about that?
No, I didn't.
Because you had talked about at the time how this was not something that was just going to go away.
I think that was connected to? No, not at all. That what happened yesterday?
Yeah.
No. I don't know.
You don't think it was any lingering feelings or?
No, I don't.
Do you have a threshold? I mean, if he continues to have fights, whether it's with teammates or in games, will you eventually feel like you have to do something further?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it with all of our players in terms of how they're supposed to behave on the practice field and in the game field, so.
But if you feel it's not sinking in, you're talking about it and it's still happening, do you have to take extra?
I take every incident into account on how it happened and what transpired in the whole thing, so.
If you look at the wide receiver numbers when the TV coach in college, outside of 2010, there was never a dominant receiver. Is that consistent with your offensive approach where you want the ball? No.
No, we don't actively go out and look for non-dominant receivers.
No, but I mean, but where you have, I mean, some teams have a number one receiver. Some teams it's 50 catches around the board. Is there?
We're equal opportunity throw operation, so if you're open, we're going to throw it to you. But we don't think about if we got players that are really good. Jeff was really good in 2010, and we played to his strengths. So I think part of what we do is try to tailor it, you know. And also a lot of those things, I know a lot of people, and I've said this before, but they keep looking at the numbers we had at Oregon, and you look at it, but we were up so much at halftime in 80% of our games that we didn't have to throw the ball. Nor did we throw the ball, and that was a coach's decision. That wasn't a player's ability, or it wasn't that I don't like to throw, but when you look at everybody's like, well, they're a big run-happy team. Well, when you're winning 50-3, we'll go run the ball a little bit more. You know, so I think some of those numbers are skewed. We were a lot more balanced team in the first half of football games than I think people think. You know, a lot of those times, again, we were up, so we didn't. I think it was tough. I think our receivers at Oregon understood it. You know, you asked them the question, would you rather be up 50-3 or would you rather catch 15 balls in a game? I think everyone will tell you you'd rather be up 50-3. So I know that's not going to happen in this league because no one's up 50-3 at halftime. So I think you're going to see a lot more balance in terms of us running and throwing the football.
But specifically with the receiving numbers, some years you have the running backs leading in catches. Some years you have tight ends.
No, I'm saying, again, those statistics are skewed because we may have called a couple halfback option routes in the first half, and in the second half we didn't throw the ball at all. You know, and part of that is that was me as a play caller. I have a lot of respect for who we play, and I think when you're up 50-3, if you're throwing bombs on people, then that's not the way the game's supposed to be played. So I squelched those numbers more than anybody. It wasn't because we didn't have receivers, and it wasn't that by design in the game plan we weren't going to throw the ball to the receivers. It was just, you know, there were a couple games when we scored so fast it caught me by surprise. You know, we're up 43-7 with 11 minutes to go in the second quarter, and you're like, holy smokes. You know, my thought process is making sure that our guys don't get hurt. I don't want to lose a guy when I'm up 40 on somebody because we got a big game or a big opponent coming up next week. And I was always cognizant of that there's another team out there and there's a certain way to win a football game. So we ran the ball a lot more. Our numbers in the passing game suffered a little bit because of that. But we've never governed anything we did by statistics. So I think sometimes when you delve into those and say, hey, this is what they are, that gets a little bit skewed. I think you still have to really kind of peel back the onion, so to speak, and look at the reasons for that. And a lot of times the reasons were because we were up so much. So
that's it. You kind of look at a guy like DeSean Jackson and say that he's going to have a pretty big year for you guys
if he's successful. Yes, I lost the second part.
Just that DeSean has to have a pretty big year for you guys to be successful.
Yeah, I think all of our receivers do. I think for us to have a real balanced attack, and that's what you got to be able to do. I don't think you can be one way or the other. You can't throw the ball all the time because obviously the defensive coordinators, defense players, leagues are too good at it. I think you need to be balanced and present approaches all the time that, you know, we have the ability to run the ball. Well, I think we've got an outstanding offensive line and a really good couple of good running backs. But we also can't say, hey, we're just going to run the ball and you can gang up on our run attack and then we got to take advantage of what you're going to do. So a lot of it becomes the chess match within the game. Are they taking away your pass game? Then you need to run the ball a little bit more. If they're taking away your run game, you need to throw the ball a little bit more.
Do you just play on Monday?
No. Brandon is out. He went to the doctors this morning. So Brandon and Dennis are both out. So Brandon will return to practice on Tuesday. So we'll see where, as he fits back into the scheme. But he's both Brandon and Dennis will be the two guys that are ruled out for Monday's game.
Has Kerry Williams become a problem in the locker room at all?
No.
What were some of the reasons initially why you guys signed him when you saw his play? What were some of the things that stood out you thought to
Length. You know, I thought we wanted to get bigger and taller at corner. You know, his competitive edge. You know, I think that's where when you look at him, he's such a competitive person. He's always around the ball. I think he can make a lot of plays on the football. He gives you the ability to play some man coverage and blitz people because of his ability to play press.
You can account any concerns about some of the issues that he's had on and off the field?
I think we take everything into account when we look at everybody we evaluate as a potential Philadelphia Eagle. So, yes.
This question's a bit out left field here, but how much do you pay attention to the Morgan's movement after you left, and what's your connection with those players?
I talk to the coaches a lot, you know, mostly by text messages. I think the same thing happened to me when I was out there. The three-hour time difference really will screw you up. You know, I think about calling them on my way into work, but it's 2 o'clock in the morning for them. So, you know, and I'm sure they may want to call me on the way out of work, but it's 2 o'clock in the morning for me. So exchange a lot of text messages with all those guys, really close to the staff and players. I didn't get a chance to watch your game last week. I was in the office. That was cut down day, so I was working in here. But I didn't anticipate they were going to struggle in the opener. So I know they got a game on Saturday in Virginia, but we'll be practicing. So hopefully maybe able to catch a tail end of that. But I'm a big Oregon fan, in case you guys didn't know.
Lee Johnson was talking about how it seemed like Jacksonville was testing. They were putting Babin on his side. They were throwing different things at him. You kind of expect that Monday night? I mean, would you feel like
I don't think they were testing Lane. I think that was just kind of what they do. When Jason Babin goes to the open side, so if the tight end was on the left, then you're going to get Jason Babin. So, but I think Lane's going to get tested just because he's young and he's, you know, if you had your choice, you know, who are you going to try to go against as from a tackle perspective? And right now, you got a all-pro lining up at left tackle and a very talented, but it's still a rookie. You know, and I think all rookies in this league are going to get tested no matter what position you play. So, but I think so far, in terms of what Lane's done, we've been really, really happy with him. I think the one thing with Lane that impresses us the most is that you may beat him on a move, but you very rarely beat him on the same move twice. You know, he does such a great job of making in-game adjustments. And, you'll see, hey, he gave something up. But whether Coach Stout's talking to him on the sideline or giving him, I think he just has a natural feel for it, which is really, for us, it's been a great thing because he the one thing he lacked, he knew he had all the athletic ability in the world, was just the experience factor because he was so new to the position, you know, offensive line in general. You know, we all know he was a high school quarterback and then played tight end, then played some defensive end, and only really had 2 years at the collegiate level there. So I think he knows that he's going to get tested, but I don't think in that particular game it was by design, but anytime someone does something to him, I think that the great thing about Lane is he learns very quickly from it. So.
They had 155 plays run last night with the Broncos and the Ravens. Is defense going to just become something quite different from what we've known before? You know, team scoring 40, 50, and, what do you see?
Well, first off, I saw three plays and fell asleep, so I didn't see much of that particular game, but I think everything – like anything, you can look at one game and say, and try to extrapolate across the entire season. I know Billy was in a game we talked about when Atlanta played Green Bay. Phoenix played Green Bay in the playoff game, and it was like a 55-50, you know. But you've been there. I've been in some games when, you know, we played in the national championship game at Auburn, which was supposed to be one for the ages and set all sorts of offensive records, and the final score was 22-19. You know, so I don't think with one game you can look at that. I do think more people are, though, less running some more up-tempo, and obviously that's going to have some more plays run. But I don't see it as a huge, you know, I don't see this turning into the Arena League, I can tell you that. So there's too many really, really good defensive football players and too many really, really good defensive coordinators for that to happen. So
this week of preparation for the game, how does this compare or differentiate from when you're preparing for a game at Oregon? I mean, a lot of the guys you face were – you might have been familiar with, they were in your conference, played them a couple times a year. So how does this...
You know, it's a good question, but it didn't ever change because our opener was always out of conference, so it was always something new. You know, my first year was Boise, second year it was LSU, who we had never played before. So a lot of times it's more to that. It's to the out-of-conference games. Once you got in season, you know, and got a chance to play, you know, Oregon State for the fourth time or Washington for the fourth time, and I had spent 2 years as a coordinator, so you were kind of familiar with them. But it's more just like getting ready for our openers because whoever we opened with every year was somebody that we hadn't faced a year before, so it was a different deal. So, you know, I think it's more similar to that, getting ready for an opener. And you always have a little bit more time, so you probably have a little bit more time to drive yourself crazy of what if they do this, and if they do this, they can do this. And, you know, especially when you open late, you know, you wish if it was the first game, there's not as much, but you sit through a Thursday night and then there'll be some college games tonight and college games on Saturday, and then you sit around all day Sunday and you got to play again on Monday. So I think you can drive yourself crazy a little bit. So we just focus on what we can control, and that's how well we prepare. I think we've been really good so far, but we know we still got today and tomorrow and Sunday to prepare. So we still got three more days of preparation. So
three games in 11 days, did you have to put some people on looking ahead, you know, have some folks looking at the Chargers and the Chiefs?
Yeah, we do. We have that. That's where we have our advanced scouts that do all that stuff. So, and we're prepared. We spent some time in June doing that also because we knew we were going to play these three games.
Well, Chip Kelly on the run there, still answering the questions. Chip Kelly meeting the media on this Friday here at the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We come back to you in just a moment.
Grandma, your biscuits are the best.
No, these are from Dunkin'.
Granny!
I have a life, you know. That's for me.
Dunkin's new chicken biscuit sandwich is a tender chicken filet on a southern-style biscuit. Grab one for $2.99 today. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
When you experience something great, you want to share it with everyone. That's why more customers recommend Verizon. America's largest 4G LTE network. Countless reasons, one choice. That's powerful. Verizon.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Gold Rush, with 15 top prizes of $300,000. It's kind of fun to make a splash. Keep on scratching.
Caramel mocha.
Caramel almond.
Caramel turtle.
That would have been awkward.
With Dunkin's caramel iced coffee flavors, there are more ways than ever to love caramel. Try the new caramel coconut today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Plenty of mud out here.
Plenty of it.
Plenty.
Hey, here go my toy right here. This is my toy. You get ready to have some fun, man.
Hey, Doug! Doug! Come on up here!
Hey, Mark! Get set! Go!
Big, big weekend for all of us. The Eagles getting ready to play Monday Night Football, the kickoff of Monday Night Football, the Eagles at the Washington Redskins. And to get you in the mood, we invite you to join us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Throughout the weekend, we've got you all covered every day, every minute of the day. And on the weekend, we will include our Eagles Television Network broadcasting. Let's take a look at the lineup there, and the shows are all ready to go. Eagles Unscripted Thursday night, 1:06 a.m. on 6ABC, Inside the Season Friday, 1:05 a.m. on 6ABC as well. And that re-airs on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. The Eagles Game Plan Show, outstanding show, all of them. Saturday, 12:05 a.m. on 6ABC. And then it's Sunday at 11:30 a.m. it re-airs. Football Frenzy, Tuesday, 11:35 p.m. on 6ABC. And we will broadcast all of those Eagles Television Network shows on Monday prior to the game. Make sure you tune in early on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We thank you for joining us here. We're live next week. Now, again, full coverage of the game, and then we're back with Eagles Live on Tuesday at 11 a.m. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
Let's go!